Nikki wanted us to tell you that her spot on her lung. That is so awesome. I'm trying to get this thing back from getting used to because I don't want people to hear me breathing in it. Do you think I'm doing whether I'm giving a sermon or no obscene phone call? All right, isn't God good? Let's all stand for the reading of the word. Well, first I want to read scripture that we started with. First, let me ask you a question. No jokes today. No PowerPoint pictures, because this is part two of last week. Something special. I got to ask you a question. Are you here to go through the service? Are you here to let the service? Amen. Think about it. What are you here for? Just here to get it done and get out? Or are you here to let God get in and something get out of you? Amen. God is so awesome. So get your Bible out, and we'll go ahead and we're going to start in where we were last week, Matthew 6 and 33, and then we'll go to our next one. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Now turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Remember, this is about priorities. Doesn't matter if you're married or not. Doesn't matter if you've never been married. Doesn't matter if, it matters not if you haven't been married, you're getting ready to get married, you were married, your spouse has died, has left you. Whatever, still, this message all the way through, you got to hear it all the way through, is for everybody in here. Amen? So now, Genesis 2 and 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and you are on your throne. I ask you right now to minister to us and through us, Father, and let this service go through us, God, in a very powerful way. We thank you, God, for all you've done for us already, and we thank you for what you're about to do. Help us, God, to be ready, willing, and able. Take in our spirits what you have. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what the church said. Amen. On the way down, look at somebody and say it again. The past is behind you. The future is ahead of you. God is with you, and nothing shall be impossible. Give on a hand. You know, I had people ask me last week, said, "Are you preaching to me?" No. I was preaching what God gave me. But if it hits you, then let me know that what he gave me was correct. Amen? So here we go. The message of kingdom alignment, when priorities get shuffled and your soul starts saying, most times it's crying, something is missing. Right out Matthew 6:33. Now, let's go to part two. I don't have to go back and redo any part one. Because that one hit hard, and hopefully it's still hitting. Amen? And it hits me every day. This stuff I'm preaching to y'all, don't think that I'm going, I got them now. Matter of fact, a lot of times when God gives me something to preach, I go, really, Lord, do I have to? I really do, but then I go, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. Amen? But I promise you, if you do what we talked about last week, and you do what we do this week, your life will change before you leave this church. It will change immediately before you leave this church. I promise that. So, here it goes. Set your house in order. I love you. God first. I'll say God first. Marriage second. Say marriage second. Family third. Say family third. Church fourth. Well, you put these in these order, something amazing is going to happen in your life. Now, part one, we talked about something that was missing, and not your life, but your order is missing. Matthew 6 and 33 said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else, the rest of the priorities. If you put Him first, the rest of the priorities will fall in order, because God blesses His divine order, but He does not bless this order. So, God back on the throne. Now, got Him on the throne last week. Now we're going to talk about the house. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, oh, a whole bunch of them say, preach it, Pastor. That didn't encourage me any. Say, preach it, Pastor. Okay, good. Now, you've already asked me to do it, so here it comes. All right. Part two series begins here. Part one, God took His throne. Now comes the hardest or the harder test. Does your house? This is an amen or an ouchie moment. If God's on the throne, does your house know what is in your life? So God's order, we're going to go to God's order number two. Get ready. Husbands don't think I'm hitting you, and wives don't think I'm hitting you. I'm hitting both of them at the same time. I got two barrels. The only problem is it backfires every now and then, I get hit. All right? So here we go. God's order. Marriage is second. God's first. Don't say God's first. Marriage is second. Look at this. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. That does not mean that you got to move to a whole new state. You got to move somewhere down the line. What it means is, that strong relationship you have with your mama and your daddy, that bond, is still there, but now the bond is expanding. As the bond expands while you were dating that girl, you felt it and started falling in love and started dating. All of a sudden, that strong bond you have with your parents started moving to the woman or the man that you're getting ready to marry. So this is not saying forget what mama and dad say. Mama and dad have a lot of good information. Please listen to them. But you cannot let them run your marriage. Amen? Listen to them. They're good advisors, but they're not supervisors. Amen? This is where you have to get God's order yourself. I've got this order. I know I've got it. Let me ask you a question. By the time we get through, we'll find out that there may be a little work done here. Genesis 2:24. Ready? Your spouse careful. Oh, come on. I'm not playing with it. It came up and said, is this right? This anyway. All right. Your spouse, listen very carefully, is your covenant partner. This is a very powerful thing. He is your covenant partner. He's not just someone that is living with you, your roommate, your co-parenting partner, the one you share the bills with. The strongest, most serious commitment that God gave man was His commitment to the covenant between man and wife. To the state is a contract. A contract's there to protect rights. But a covenant is what God calls marriage, is there to give up your rights. The Bible says that a man is to defend his wife, to give his life for his wife. That's in Ephesians, and for his family. But the other way around, it also says that the woman should be doing the same, for her husband in the family. So this is a covenant position. I might say God thought of it. I didn't think of it. Amen? God thought of this. And so because your spouse is your covenant partner. Not your kids, not your church, not the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, baseball, football, basketball. Your spouse first ministry partner, your first ministry God gave you. And this is your God given. I didn't. God. Not me. Not the state, definitely. The state just says, you got a contract. If you don't like it, tear it up. Going up here for $19.95 and $10,000. Just sit up. Now, just that order right there. Can you get that order out? Marriage and the son. I do a lot of marriage counseling. And actually, marriage counseling is about 80 or 90% of people. Couples that come stay married. But they're ready to be divorced. They're ready to give it up. What happens is they find out they have been neglected. They've neglected that covenant. They've neglected that they are supposed to minister to one another before they minister to anybody else. Amen? So here's how you know if you got a neglected marriage. Amen? Guys, don't you dare. Women, don't you. Alright? Start pointing them. All of them. Ready? Marriage becomes noisy. What do I mean? Conflict builds silence. Wow. Fussing all the time, tearing each other apart, calling each other names. I'm not talking about pet names, lovingly, calling each other, lovingly, joking with each other. No, I'm talking about conflict. They asked Billy Graham's wife one time if she ever about divorce. Never has divorce on my mind. But she said murder has crossed it many times. Secondly, not just noisy, wounded. Unattended hearts. And instead of walking up saying, I love you, dear, and they go, I love you back. Usually what you say is, what's happening? What did I do? What's up? What's up? And eventually you just quit talking. And eventually you quit looking. Just roommates. Noisy, wounded roommates. And eventually it becomes different. Two people live in parallel lives. Not even on the same page, not getting it done. You know, you're not dividing and conquering. Satan has divided and conquered. The most important covenant in your life, he's divided. See, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I know guys don't know. Some guys looking right under. I know some guys don't feel like it. And women, I know sometimes they don't feel like it. Because not only are you protecting your covenant, he's protecting your covenant. Because he's got angels around you. He's got his word beside you and in you. And God's got you. So, neglect is not an event. Before you went to bed, early on, you make sure that you hug each other, you held hands like you were, or you were filled up with each other, and then stop hugging, stop holding hands, stop cuddling head on both sides of the bed. No words. And it didn't happen overnight. So, yeah. Do something called the 10-second rule. When you come into a house, grab your spouse, hug them like you mean it. You ain't got to go one without two. Hug her for you. Because that hug has medicinal spiritual power. It connects you like you were. Hug is very, very, very powerful. Factors of hugs are boots and suits. You do put your arms around him, you want to put them up here. Ain't good. Amen? Prioritize marriage. Well, the next thing about like this. Ready? Here you go. I want you to ask me something right now. When did you last pursue your spouse in the car? When you called. That's powerful. Here we go. This challenge, very second, would your spouse say that you want that they are your second priority, not first, him second. Spouse wants to know that God's first. They really want to know. They want to know that you seek God. A wife wants a spiritual husband. He wants a spiritual leader, the spiritual priest. Their home. And when you're a spiritual priest, you're leading spiritually, it does something to that wife. The wife loves to get up under in the order God, and there's husband, and this is the household, then wife, and then the children. What happens is, when she sees you leading spiritually, he will gladly get up under. See, if your spouse said that they are your second priority, or the one who gets whatever left over out of your body, husbands, think about it. Wives, think about it. You feel second in priority to your spouse? Spouse, you're your spouse's second priority, or do you feel like everybody else is your third? Promise you, that's a good way to get in the way. That's also a good way. That's also a good way to get in the church. So, enough of this. You know, let me tell you something. Spouse needs to know, not just feel, not just assume. Spouse needs know that after God, you are the most important. Wow. I say that's enough for you, doesn't it? Number three. I try to practice this stuff too. I really try to practice. Number three. Family third. Psalm 127:3-5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. They carry something special. They carry your family's seed. I'm not talking about physical. They carry your family's seed spiritually. They carry your family's value. They carry your family's legacy. They carry your covenant with God, with their children. Your living, breathing, precious heritage needs to be nurtured. Your home is a discipleship center. Your life. Don't just carry the church and drop them off. Let teach and teach about God. You teach them about what God, you know, what God tells them to do, His Word. Your children, listen carefully, need your presence more than they need you. How many here is a perfect parent? God don't call you to be perfect. He calls you to be there. See, lessons must be nurtured, not Lord. The Bible just said that they were our heritage, that they were the arrows. So in order for an arrow to be used, the arrow doesn't launch it. So that, I've never seen an arrow launch itself. I've settled some stuff because it was in the chair. I've never seen an arrow launch itself. It has to be placed in the right position. It has to be aimed. And it has to be released with power. Your children are arrows, and you are the bow. Look at that, you're the bow. Amen. You're the bow. I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm just saying this because this is, I very seldom preach this stuff because if you hear it all the time, it'll drive you crazy. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to comfort. Believe it or not, this is comforting. Maybe not at this moment, but you can get back and think about it. Man, that was horrible. See, remember, family third. Listen carefully. Your children are writing their memory of you, right? Will it be present? Will it be? It's not. Decent day came along. I can't think of anything I like that I love. There's no possible track. I'd get them on the bike, all three of us on one bike. One sitting up on the handlebars, one sitting in the middle. We go down to the Meeks grocery. We play pool, play games, and all that stuff. And we go down to the ditch and play in the tree. There's all kinds of things. We get it all the time. It's just awesome. It worked shift work. So I worked around my shift work, but still, those boys knew what it was like to have their day. Much of I was there like this. So like all the time, air, press, much like this. I remember when I started the ministry and my shift work got harder, and because of my skill, they had to use me more, and so I've been used more at work, and these projects that I'm doing are taking so much time, and ministry, the church is growing, and I remember DC and said, Daddy, I got a project. I'm looking for everything. And I said, I'm sorry, son. I got to do it. I need help. Then he asked me another time. Come up out of nowhere and said, Daddy, can you help me with the project now? Then when you come home, you help me. I said, I'm so tired, son. I've been at work all day, and now I got to go right back to church. And 26 miles work, 26 miles. And finally, I finally got a little break around Christmas. DC came up to me and I said, DC, give me that project. I've already turned away about it. DC comes up and said, DC, bring me that project. He said, never mind. Then Gary said, he'll help me. He'll pray for me. They hit me harder. That time for it, I got no problems. I got to do one or the other. Most of them are cleaning all the time. My wife's in there, hot, and everything. So it took all the way from the office to get it all lined up. Put it down. I didn't know it was over there. Coach's basketball school. He said, Daniel came along with him. Daniel was the mascot. He carried him all over North Carolina and his basketball. And then they started all the way to the fire. Looking for their high team. Baseball, getting the pockets. I told Daniel, you're on your own, bud. Baseball, basketball, soccer, school ball, league ball, little league ball, all of that. All these coaches. I got them started on this one. Now they make this comment. I mean, every night we were playing basketball, or playing catch, or we'd be in the house. Music, or we'd be down the road fishing. I said, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to ask the Lord to fight for me. Yes. Yes, my boys are going to be. I was present. Now I'm excited to watch my boys coaching. They're coaching stuff. They're making sure their girls got this, whatever they want to play. They're going to play music, whatever they want to play. I'm watching me all over again through my boys. My boys have perfected what I was doing. I was swinging it. His boys here, yeah. See? Remember, being present is not perfect. You don't need all the answers. Be available. Again, God's forefront. Here we go. I know y'all are glad we finally got something. Y'all go, woo! I think this is the best one. We can still get it. I promise you, when we get through, you're going to say, man, this is a problem. All right. Number four, church. Hebrews 10:25, think not the assembling of ourselves together. Assembly of synagogue, that's where they went to worship. Temple's where they went to sacrifice. Synagogue is where they went to worship. Think not assembling ourselves together. Think not get together and worship God together. Very, very, very important. Because they would worship, they would read the word. All kinds of stuff going on in there, sort of like church. Now, church fourth is never optional. Okay? Don't make church something convenient. When it's not convenient, say, yeah, it'll be all right. You know, we used to have three services a week. Now we got really one service, one Bible, five. So if you don't come to the Bible study on Tuesday night and come on Sunday morning only, and you only come once a month, guess how much you're going to Now, think about this. Look. Point to somebody. Anybody. Church. Stop. See, fourth does not mean it is fourth in importance. I promise you, no one grows from. Remember that story about the man who backs the church? People come over and preach and talk. Don't you preach to me! Don't you preach to me! Preach. I want to be said, you don't want to. I ain't going to preach. Set your body on fire, not even talk. Preach. Run the fireplace. Smoke. And he reached back with that poker and he pushed it back in the fire. No one grows strong alone. The coal that leads the fire. See, you're never meant to carry your home. It's important that we're together because we have similar likes, similar dislikes. We get to share the word together. We get to share our problems together. We get to piggyback each other and talk about things. And it's so important that we get in church together. But do not forsake, it's what God said, not me, but do not forsake the assembly. Bring your ordered house to the house of God. See, you're a member of His body. And a member disconnected cannot function. So, let your hand be empty. There. Let's put in alcohol. Guess what? He ain't gonna give him spells. Oh man, it stinks. Eventually, you got very same way. This is not it. You're doing things you can't pick up half because you're just body and life flows. Yeah, you're together. No, see, a care for a home makes you become a servant. Water at home becomes power and service. People at home. Not everything together, all everything important. And I worked on this. I rewrote these slides one time. Then went to beat you up on one time. I worked on this so much, trying to take out every thing that was unnecessary. We're going to be there just because that's the Holy Spirit. Huh? All right. Why you must be in the house? Something unique is found only in the house. Cannot be sharpened alone. Iron sharpens iron. And the faithful needs the faithful. See me wearing this. Tracing all the time. You know what it shows? It's an arrow with two arrows going down and two arrows going up. God is greater than your highest high and your lowest low. Over here. Proverbs on both sides. Proverbs 26. Iron tired all the time. It reminds me, I'm not here just to take it. I'm here sometimes they rub you raw. I promise you, Paul is rubbing me raw, and together we're going to get sharp, and it's going to be awesome. When iron sharpens iron, both things lose, and lose bad stuff, and it can't do stuff. If God put it to you, it's never meant for your living. Listen carefully. The gift God gave you was never meant for your living room. The body needs watching. Everybody carries their own gift. God gave you. And so, we found in God's house, not out of duty, out of hunger. So I'm trying to hurry up. I'm going to make part three. I'm going to do it all today so we can go ahead and get through this. Next week, we're going to have a light show. Okay? Awesome. We're going to talk about Job. We got to the end of the story. Not in the beginning. I'm going to tell you that again. All right. So why is this house so important? Some things only heal in a room. I remember there were two ladies in my church at Benson. They looked so different. One was high class, the other was both of them were wonderful, but they didn't look a bit alike. And one sat on this side of church as far as you could get in the back row, the other side of the church, far away from this side. I never even noticed. I'd been there for months and in Benson, both of them did not know. Found out from one of them's husband. And the reason he's the one that brought it up. The reason that they didn't seem to get along, their mother needed somebody. And so this lady's husband, who was a multimillionaire, he owned a gas company, he served three counties, four counties, he offered to give mama the money. Mama said, I will not take it. He said, I'll give it to you as a loan. She said, nope, not take it. He says, I'm going to sell you. That's how this is going to work. Her decision, her idea. So he bought it. Say, this was bad because they wanted it. So they didn't talk. When they walked into church, I didn't go paying attention to my kids. I started watching. They would come in and turn their heads and talk to everybody else. They would see each other and talk. One night, we were having a very powerful praise and worship service. I was coming in, awesome music, powerful, so much was happening. And people got up and started running around and shouting. And I looked up and I saw that. Not only did their relationship, there was other people that got healed. So it's amazing how some things only heal in a room full of worship. You were never meant to carry all this by yourself. There's a seat with your name on it in here, and a family's know that you're seated. Come home, not because you know. See, I'm trying to hurry up. Church is powerful. When it supports God's order, nothing replaces it. Both the church is vital. It's powerful. It's right to place God's design. So, the priorities are right. Present. God. return. Joy return. Amen. Spirit of heaven lives. Peace settles. Anxiety. Anxiety loses grip. Marriage is born because covenant love is reached. Children respond because they feel peace in the home. Home stabilizes because the foundation is home. The soul sings again within the body. So, what God says, remember, bless the body of water. Here it is, real quick. How to restore and pray. Ready? How to restore priorities? Number one, rethrone God daily, not with emotion, but with decision. Just want to say, Lord, you are first today, not second. Not second behind my plan, not second behind my fear, not second behind my anxiety. You are number one today. Secondly, reinvest in your marriage. Time, conversation, prayer, affection. Your marriage is a ministry. Amen? Come in the house and not say, going, ugh. How are you? How was your day? What can I do? Number three, reengage your family. Presence over perfection. Connection over correction. Just be there. Present. Number four, re-enter church with violence. Serve, but not in expensive home. Worship, not while ignoring your spouse. Restoration, have a hurry up. Restoration, not with the feeling, but the choice. Think ye first, God. Here we go. Get up here now. Decide today. Just be careful. What is the one thing you feel deep in? So God. Okay. God is not more. Not real. Ready? What happened? Something happened. We jump out of prayer. Me. Really? Never give me. Here's what's going to happen. Powerful thing happened. You're going to walk out of here changed person. Somebody's joy is coming back. Somebody's marriage is coming back. Somebody's peace is coming back. Somebody's power is coming back. Somebody's clarity is coming back. Not because something new, but because party. Because God changed. Because here's the final challenge. What's missing? I promise you. It's not guilt and praise. It's not change and destruction. It's not pressure. It's presence. Before you leave today, here, please. Nothing changes after today. What was that fight? Remember, not first, marriage second, family third. Something is missing when we come. There's one thing I learned about at Procter & Gamble early on. He has stuff in there called sequential timers. Any idea what a sequential timer is? And all these millions of dollars of equipment. They were running PLC, programmable logic controller, and they had some timers. And as those timers were popping off, they just had a rod going. And as that rod would go, that timer, it would hit things at certain times. It would make certain things happen with the equipment. sometimes things will get out of order. People were trying to work and didn't have four or five people working one person because everything was out of order. And I'd come up and I'd drive up and I'd pull out my meter and I would check and I'd see that Mitchell timers got out of order. And so within a few minutes, I put this bunch of timers back in the right order. Maybe I had to rewire something, change a part, but still wouldn't take all 30 minutes at most. And after I put everything back in order, everything was back in order. And then, it didn't require all this people. Some of you want to hear right now, you got all these people trying to help you get it right. And the problem is, you don't have all these people trying to help you get it right. The problem is, you need to get in order. Get the right order, it's going to be okay. I promise. So, give you an invitation. Bring your home to the altar. I want you to say this out loud. Say it right now. Say this out loud. God reorder. Say it out loud. God reorder what I cannot fix alone. Now I want you to walk one out. Everybody can walk one. You walk out the same, or you can walk down and lay it down. Once you leave it in the altar, it's going to be here. The question is, are you going to refuse to pick it back up? Wait for a few minutes, and we're going to have this declaration. Ready? Would y'all say this with me? Today, I return to the altar and I lay it all down. Say it again. Today, I return to the altar and I lay it all down. I put God first, before my marriage, before my family, before self. There it is. What was fragmented, he makes whole. What was buried, he raises. I am not weary, I am renewed. Here I stand, consecrated, I will not turn back. Get ready, we're still going. I set my house in order. God first, above all, before all. My marriage second, honored, guarded, and whole. My family third, cherished and covered. The church fourth, served in faith and strength. But God has a line no power can break. I rise from this altar restored. I go forth in power. Amen. We're still going. We're still going. Ready? Again, I will rise from this altar. What God ordered, I will guard. My house becomes an altar. My family will know the presence of God. My service flows from order. But God aligned, no power can break. I go from this altar in power. Amen. Amen. Hold it right there. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming around. I'm going to help y'all. Go ahead and start praying. Start praying. Start thanking God. Start thanking God. God's got you. God's got you. God's got you. Thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for your order. Thank you for your power. Thank you for everything you've done for us. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We know you've got you, God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You've got you, Lord. You've got us. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Touch us right now, Lord. Minister to us, each and every one. Make a difference in our lives, God. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Yes, Lord. We are yours. We are yours, God. Help us get things in priority. So things will run correctly. So things will run like they should. We're tired of everything being first out of God's place. Touch us, God. Keep us safe. Keep us strong. And help us, Lord. Put you first in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, after today, we will not be the same. We will never be the same. Y'all say that with me. God, with your help, I will not be the same. God, with your help, I will watch my priorities. God, with your help, I will do like you say, God. You first, my marriage second, my family third, my church fourth. You got it. You got this, God. You will bless it in the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory! Glory, glory, glory. God's got this. Amen, amen, amen. God's got you. Thank you, God. You got us.